Good morning, friends.
Morning.
Couple things as we get started. First of all, Jeremy, whose idea was it to give Evan the microphone anyway? That was my fault. Second thing is, as we were worshiping this morning, I realized, you know, I try to ignore technology in the room, honestly, but we do have these cameras in here, and we live stream our service. And I know that there are some people who join us every single week, like Junior Berry, if you're watching today, we're so glad to see you, whichever camera I'm supposed to be looking at. And then I think my mom and dad might be watching today. So, hey, mom and dad, we're glad you're here. But we all got to celebrate together Easter back on March 31st. Easter came early this year, right? Very early. And so, you know, I'm going to guess that all of you all have put up all your cute little Easter bunny decorations, that you've opened up all of your Easter eggs, that you've consumed all of the candy that was inside of them, and that you might, just might, have gotten out of your carpet all that plastic grass that comes in those baskets that is just terrible stuff. My poor children, they've never seen that. But Easter has come and it has gone. We have moved forward with our lives and we are getting ready for the next commercial holiday, which is
the Kentucky Derby.
It does come first. Mother's Day, which no one knew in the first service, but this is your public service announcement that if there is any woman in your life who mothers you in any kind of way, you have a couple weeks, all right? Get them a card. Get them a gift, Jeremy. And while we have all like moved forward, the reality is on the church calendar, it's still Easter, y'all. We are in a season that is called Eastertide. It is the 50 days in between when Jesus was raised from the dead until the day that Pentecost happened, whenever the Holy Spirit came upon his people. And so, you know, we spent 40 days like in the wilderness, right? Through Lent, we were repenting. We were reflecting. We were kind of like in the darkness. And y'all, here we are. Now we get to spend 10 days longer in the light. So let's not cut the party short. I don't know why we always just like skip over the party part, but we're gonna try to live into this Easter reality because Easter is to be continued. Not just through this season that's called Eastertide, but really Easter is to continue on through each and every one of our lives, every day, everywhere. And so today we're going to reflect a little bit on what it looks like for us to live as Easter people, particularly what it looks like for us to live as sheep of the Good Shepherd. Many of you know I'm from Muhlenberg County. And so when people from Kentucky hear that's where I'm from, they immediately assume that I grew up on a farm somewhere. Allison, do you get this? Did you grow up on a farm?
Yeah.
You did. See? She fits the bill. I do not. I grew up in Muhlenberg County, but I know nothing about livestock or crops. I grew up in a basketball gym, so the closest I ever came to like a cow was the leather on my basketball. And the only thing I've ever grown is like my shooting range in the gym, right? So that means I'm unfortunately out of luck with many of the stories that Jesus tells in scripture, because it seems that Jesus much preferred agricultural metaphors to sports illustrations. I wish he could have at least given us a couple in there. It would have helped me a lot. So I have admittedly zero knowledge I bring to the table about sheep or shepherds. And so I decided, you know, I should ask some experts to help me understand this passage better. The first group of experts I consulted are really the premier experts in our congregation, and that is our children, right? Our children and our youth. And so I asked the Newman boys if they could teach us a few things about sheep this morning. Let's watch together.
Where do sheep like to go shopping? At Walmart.
Where do sheep get their haircuts at?
At the Baba shop.
Where do sheep go on vacation?
The Bahamas.
What car do sheep aim to buy?
A Lamborghini.
Yep, yep. Those were some bad jokes. But there's been worse jokes told on this platform before, for sure. I mean, they did provide us with some insights. I saw another joke, Jeremy, that asked what Sheep's favorite band was, and it was U2. So, yeah, did you know you all share a favorite band? But as mind-blowing as those jokes were and teaching us about sheep, I thought we might need some more technical information. And so wouldn't you know it, we actually have a couple of modern shepherds here in our congregation. First of all, we have the Willis family. This is Curtis, Amy, and Grant. They are shepherding about 80 sheep every single day. They've been doing this for a couple of years. And then we have Courtney and Ginger. Ginger's downstairs today. I did include in the picture Emma, Kate, and Christopher, but we don't really know how much they help with it. No, yeah, I didn't think so. All right, we're going to leave them out of the conversation then. They have three sheep, and tell them who they're named after.
Fried green tomatoes. So they're Itchy, Ruth, and Sipsy.
Yeah. Any fried green tomato fans here? I mean, I like that. That's awesome. So ask our resident shepherds, like, hey, like, what have you learned about sheep as you have cared for them? Because in this passage that was read for us earlier, Jesus does compare us to sheep, right? And so what's he trying to say about us? Last week, I told you all that John Adams had a nickname for George Washington. Does anybody remember what it was? Old Muttonhead. And so it's like, is that what Jesus is doing here? Is he calling us Old Muttonhead? That was not a nice thing to say. I mean, it pretty much said you aren't very bright and you're stubborn. So is that it? Or is Jesus trying to say something else? You know, I don't think that Jesus was trying to insult us or put us down here. And so what is he getting at? I'm not really going to bury the lead for us today, okay? I'm just going to, like, get to it right out of the gate. After talking to the experts, it seems to me that Jesus compares us to sheep because of something that I'm going to be up front. We really don't like to admit about ourselves, okay? I don't know about you, but I like to think that I am very self-sufficient. I like to think that I'm very independent, that I've got this, that I don't really need much help from anybody or anything. But here's the cold hard truth for all of us, without exception, even me. Here it is. We, just like sheep, are wonderful but vulnerable creatures. Right? We need people. We need provision. We need protection. And we need to be pointed in the right direction. And so let's just reflect on that a little bit. You and I, we need other people to thrive, just like sheep need one another as well. Courtney talked about how her sheep, like, totally freak out if they get disconnected from one another. When that happens, you know, they hate being alone so much that they just, like, start calling out for one another when they're out of eyeshot. Likewise, you know, we were made to live in connection. Some of us here, we might call ourselves loners. Some of us might be introverts who, like, derive their energy from having some time alone. But even the most loner of loners, I don't know how to say that, even the most introverted of us all, like, if we get honest, we know even we need other people. Because we know we can have this sense that we were made for relationship with God and relationship with others. The God who created us is three in one. He exists in eternal community within himself, and he made us in his image. And so guess what, guys? We were made for community as well. Furthermore, we, like sheep, we need provision. We have basic needs that have to be met. Fun fact, does anybody know how many stomachs sheep have? Cheater. Stomachs, okay? And so, like, they gotta fill those up to survive. And so they eat like it's their job. They start eating, Courtney says, before we ever wake up in the morning, and that they'll keep eating, including air sometimes, and get a little uncomfortable. You gotta watch them. They'll eat to try to satisfy that need. Curtis told me that the sheep get really loud when they get hungry, just like me, right, Jeremy? I get a little irritable when I think it's time to eat too. And he says, like, as soon as they walk out of the house and that back door hits the frame, like, they're ready. They are ready to eat. He says that does actually, though, like, they can kind of be used against them. They're kind of easy to fool because all you got to do is get out your feed bucket. You can kind of feed them, lead them anywhere, which pro tip, that's true for me too. You need me to do something, just bring a cupcake. I'm in, I'm your girl. But the sheep need provision. You know, they have to rely on the creation. They have to rely on people to give them what they need so that they can flourish. And again, as much as you and I might think that we've got this and we can do it all by ourselves, that we can take care of all our needs without any help from anyone around us, the truth of the matter is we are all reliant to some extent on forces outside of us, right? I don't know if any of you are able to just, you know, like create water out of thin air. I don't know how many among us, there might be a few, that are skilled enough. I mean, Tim could do this. That you could build your own shelter, probably. We got an engineer. You could probably pull it off too, Nick. But, you know, a few of us have those skills. I don't know how many of us grow our own food, like all our own food, right? But even then, you know, even if we do grow all our food, we can't control the weather or the temperature or the amount of sunlight. We can't just, like, really will those crops to grow all on their own. We need provision beyond ourselves. And in addition, just like our fluffy friends, we need protection. Sheep are constantly in danger. You know, they are prey for bigger and more fierce animals. And yet at the same time, they're hosts for parasites. They can get sick. They can get hurt. They can get stuck or lost from the herd. And so their safety is of extreme importance. Curtis talked to me about how anxious sheep can become. And so it's very important to keep things consistent for them, to make sure they have good fences so that they'll stay calm and so that they can feel secure. And just like sheep, we have those same needs. We face dangers of all sorts. You know, we face things that might feel like big, bad wolves in our lives, like sickness and hate and gossip and betrayal and brokenness of all sorts. But then we also are at risk for parasites, right? These things inside of us, like depression and anxiety and isolation and bitterness and anger, all these things that can zap the life right out of us. We can get stuck in difficult places, can't we? We can lose our way. So we need this help. We need help to stay safe. We need protection. And finally, we need to be pointed in the right direction. Sheep are very easily influenced by one another or by the company that they keep in general. Like if one of them runs, all of them start running with them. Courtney says that her sheep have been raised with goats. And so they have learned from their goat brothers and sisters how to headbutt one another to fight over their food. Seems like a useful skill to me, right? But we too are easily shaped by the company that we keep, right? For better or for worse. And so we need guidance. We need direction. We need to be steered toward the full and abundant life that God so wants for every single one of us. Again, sheep and humans are wonderful but vulnerable creatures. We need people, we need provision, we need protection, and we need to be pointed in the right direction. In short, guess what we need, guys? We need a shepherd, right? We need a shepherd who will look out for us. Jesus, he recognized this. In the book of Matthew, it talks about as Jesus is traveling around from town to town and village to village, teaching and healing people, he looks out at the crowds of people, the herds of people that are all around him. And it says that he has compassion on them. Why? Because he said that they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was heartbroken because no one was looking out for all of these people. However, Jesus's heartbreak was just an echo of the heartbreak that God the Father had long had and long expressed. He knew his people needed this shepherding presence. And so across time, God had sent all these different people to try to lead them and guide them along. He sent prophets, he sent priests, he sent kings. But time and time again, he found that these shepherds were more like hired hands, right? Hired hands that put their own needs instead of the flock itself. Hired hands who scattered when things got difficult. Hired hands that saved themselves instead of looking out for the vulnerable. And so finally, God had kind of had it, y'all. And in through the prophet Ezekiel, this is what he declares. This is from chapter 34. He says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness." Essentially, God says, that's it. No more hired hands. I will do this myself. I will be their shepherd. The shepherd of these sheep who belong to me, right? I will look out for them. And so, you know, hundreds of years later, we finally have Jesus in this moment in John chapter 10 saying to these people, like, listen, I am him. Like, I am the fulfillment of this promise. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock. And scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And like the hired hand, Jesus says, I'm all in. I am not here for a paycheck. I'm not here for power or prestige or for a position. No, I am here because I am driven by love above and beyond all else. The sheep are mine. They belong to me. And I deeply care about every single one of them. If one of them hurts, so do I. If one of them gets lost, then I'm going to lose sleep until we are reunited. The shepherd says, like, if their lives are threatened, then I'm going to lay down mine for theirs. It's interesting. When I talked to both Curtis and to Courtney, both of them shared about the dogs that helped them shepherd their sheep. And both of the dogs, I think yours is part Great Pyrenees, right? And then Curtis has a Great Pyrenees as well. And so Curtis was telling me about why you choose this dog. You know, you can choose any dog to do this. There's lots of guard dogs that are out there. But what these dogs do is they bond with these sheep, right? They connect to them. They care about them. And so when the sheep are trying to sleep at night, these dogs stay awake, right? And make sure that nothing attacks them. And then Curtis says, whenever it really comes down to it, and like other guard dogs, that in that moment when they're having to choose between, like, do I save myself or do I save the sheep? These guard dogs, they will lay down their life for you. They will sacrifice themselves for the good of the sheep that they're among. It seems that they, too, are driven by love, just like the good shepherd. As Jesus goes on, he speaks about this bond that he has with the sheep that are a part of his flock. In case we missed it the first time, Jesus says it plainly yet again in verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. But then he elaborates further. He says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. A good shepherd knows and is known by his sheep. Curtis, he talked about the importance of just like going out and being with the sheep, seeing them when they're out and about. And the reason you want to do this, the reason you want to be so present is that you'll be able to notice if anything changes, right? Like if a sheep starts to limp along, or if they don't have as much energy as they normally do, then you're going to be able to respond to what they need in that moment. Courtney and Ginger, they've spent a good bit of time observing their sheep, and they know their different personalities. Like, they know Iggy is the leader of the pack, right? Courtney can stand up on her deck and, like, yell, whatever, hey, sheep, and Iggy will answer, like, right back. And so I think it's safe to say if they ever went out and Iggy wasn't being the leader, she was just kind of like laying around, if she didn't answer their call, they would know, like, something's going on. And they would be able to meet her need in that moment. And so think about that. You know, a good shepherd knows their sheep. And so Jesus asks the good shepherd, I mean, he is just as present. He is just as invested in our lives. He's gotten to know us through and through. And so he notices when we start limping along in life. He notices when our energy is depleted. He notices when we feel threatened. He notices when we are afraid and anxious so that he can respond, so that he can give us his grace where we need it the very most in that moment. However, as if all of that weren't already enough, Jesus, he goes beyond knowing us because he understands that a good shepherd also must allow the sheep to know who he is, he or she is. They have to be willing to get vulnerable, just like the sheep that they shepherd. I learned that sometimes sheep can be slow to warm up to their shepherds, you know, that they can be a little standoffish. They can be a little afraid and skittish. And so they might keep their distance. And as they do that, then the shepherd has to respect that, right? And take a risk, right? A risk that we have to take in every relationship that we are a part of. You know, there are inherent risks that come with trying and seeking to be close to others. And that the greatest risk, I think, is the risk of being rejected. And so the shepherd has to be willing to be rejected potentially again and again and allow that sheep to respond on their own timeline. The shepherd can't force it. Although, let's be honest, when it comes to sheep, as we've established, food can help that process, right? But in the same way, Jesus became vulnerable for us. Jesus took on our flesh and he walked among us so that we could see and experience who he truly was. He came and did that so that he could be known by us. He showed up and he continues to show up with absolutely nothing to hide and with a love so big that it outweighs the risk by far. Sure, he might get rejected over and over and over again by us, but it's okay. He's already decided he will not walk away. Sure, it might take us a while to warm up to him, but he gives us the space that we need. He allows us to respond on our timeline because here's the thing. Our response does not change a single thing about how he already feels about us. He's already made up his mind in advance, and he cannot be moved. No matter what, always and forever, he is looking out for us. In fact, he has already laid down his life for us that we might come fully alive, and absolutely no one is left out. Jesus, he wanted to make this clear as he continued in verse 16. He said, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Jesus has already willingly paid the ultimate price for all of us, without exception. He has already extended to every single person on the planet, past and present, the gift of the full and abundant free life that he wants for every single one of us. We, like our fluffy friend's sheep, we are wonderful but vulnerable creatures. We need a shepherd. But hear the good news today. We already have one, and not just some hired hand and not just any old shepherd, but the good one, right? The good one who's not only like proficient in all the technical aspects of what it means to be a good shepherd. I mean, he is. He knows how to lead us. He's got all the skills down pat, but he is the good one who is good through and through. His character is constant and consistent, impeccable and immovable. He has and he does and he will put us before himself. He looks out for us. You know, I was preparing the sermon earlier in the week, and I was getting a little excited about it because I got to learn so much from my friends, you know, and I was starting to finally get like what Jesus was getting at here. It was starting to make sense in my head. But as the week went on, it's been a message that has moved from my head to my heart. It's something that's been confirmed by my lived experience. On Wednesday of this week, I was reminded just how vulnerable like every single one of us are, right? We can be going along in life and thinking everything's great. We got it all under control. Nothing can take us down. Nothing can rock the boat. But on Wednesday, a threat that I wouldn't have even dreamt up was lurking and struck in my family's life. We found out that my dad, who many of you have gotten to know here, he usually sits back in that corner. Or if you haven't got to meet him, you've heard me tell stories about him surely by now. We found out that he has several masses in his body, and we're still waiting on the pathology to know exactly what it is that he's dealing with. I'll be honest, I'm scared, and I'm sad, and I'm angry, and I'm anxious. And all of that is true, right? Like, that can exist. And at the very same time, I find great comfort in knowing that both my dad and I have a good shepherd that has and will continue to give us people and provision and protection that will continue to point us in the right direction. Come what may, we know that Jesus is all in, that he's already laid down his life for ours and that he's looking out for us. I was talking to Esther. Esther, if you all haven't got to meet Esther, she might be downstairs with our kids today. She comes to our 9 o'clock service. And Esther was talking to me after the service. She said, you know, in these times, when things like this happen, whenever those threats, those dangers that we talked about come lurking in our lives, what is our first instinct? Our first instinct is to scatter, right? Just run away. When in reality, she said, we need to huddle and cuddle in those times. We need to get all together and get behind our shepherd, right? And I love that. So that's my plan. I'm going to huddle and cuddle. I might need a few extra hugs over the next little bit. But I can't tell you all, like, in the midst of the chaos, it's there. This also deep peace that surpasses understanding that I have had because you exist in my life. Like I see God's love and experience God's love so fully through this congregation. And it's given me the deepest peace to know that we won't walk through any of this alone. But where do you need to be reminded of that today? You know, everyone walked through this door with something weighing on their hearts. And so where are you vulnerable? Where is it that you need people? Where is it that you need provision? Where is it that you need protection? Where do you need to be pointed in the right direction? I want you to be able to leave here today having experienced and having confirmed in your heart that the Good Shepherd is walking by your side. And so today what I want to invite us to do is to stand together, and I'm going to invite us to pray together the words of Psalm 23. It's a psalm we've likely heard, many of us here, many times in our lives. I don't know about you, but I learned it in the King James Version. And anytime I go to say it, I always say it with all the thys and thous. But I picked out a different version for us to pray together today. This comes from The Voice, because my hope is that we would hear it in a new way. And that as we pray these words, that we would just have this deep assurance that we truly are being led by a shepherd that's this good. Let's pray together. The Eternal is my shepherd. He cares for me always. He provides me rest in rich green fields beside streams of refreshing water. He soothes my fears. He makes me whole again, steering me off worn, hard paths to roads where truth and righteousness echo his name. Even in the unending shadows of death's darkness, I am not overcome by fear, because you are with me in those dark moments. near with your protection and guidance, I am comforted. You spread out a table before me, provisions in the midst of attack from my enemies. You care for all my needs, anointing my head with soothing, fragrant oil, filling my cup again and again with your grace. Certainly, your faithful protection and loving provision will pursue me where I go, always, everywhere. I will always be with the eternal in your house forever.